Dear friends, let us turn in the Word of God to John chapter 14, and we'll be considering the verses 15 and then 21 through to 24. And it's a passage that we'll come back to in future time also. In this passage, dear friends, we have spoken to us the fruit of loving Christ. Do you know there are fruits that are found in the lives of those who actually truly love the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, what are those things? So we want to look at that. The Lord Jesus Christ speaks about loving Him. And what does it mean? It says here simply, if we love Him, we are going to be keeping His commandments. That's what it is. So actually, Jesus Christ has commandments. There are some people who say, well, we are not supposed to be following commandments today. We are now in the New Testament times, where here is New Testament. Our Lord Jesus Christ speaks very clearly about this matter. But we need to understand, what does it actually mean? So he says in verse 15, if ye love me, keep my commandments. Remember, he's speaking in the night before his crucifixion, and he's speaking to his disciples. And then verse 21, it says this, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. And then you have, in verse 22, Judas, not Iscariot, not the one who betrayed him, then he's asking, Lord, he says, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? How is it that you're going to manifest yourself to us personally, to your disciples, but you won't show yourself to the world? He says, and the Lord Jesus Christ says this. He answers and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him and will come unto him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me, he says. We should, dear friends, have deep, deep gratitude today as we read these words, as we read the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. These are intimate words that our Lord Jesus Christ is speaking just to his disciples, not to the world, but just to his disciples. So it should fill your heart with gratitude and joy that Jesus Christ is talking to us, even today. And we are to be holding on to the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we are holding on to the words of Jesus Christ, it means that we will be kept. We are, the Word of God, it keeps us grounded. So many new movements, there are so many new ideas these past decades, 100 years, 200 years, dear friends. Things haven't become better for the Church of Jesus Christ. In many ways, there have been all sorts of theologies and ideas that have come in. But my friends, if you're keeping the Word of God and following it, you'll be well grounded. There'll be all sorts of new things that come and say to you, well, this is much better. This is much, much better than what you've had. My friends, keep to the Word of God, always. So I want to now take a moment to highlight some key principles from this passage that we have just read. There are three main words that I want to focus on that our Lord speaks about. First of all, there is love. Second, there is obedience. And then thirdly, manifestation. So these are the three things that we read about. So there are fruits. If we love Jesus Christ, these are the fruits. The first is true love. So let's think about that. So the Lord Jesus Christ says this, if ye love me. If ye love me, he says. So this passage teaches us that love for Jesus Christ is a true mark of a Christian. Do you love Jesus Christ? Why? What motivates you? to love the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is directly speaking to his disciples. And if you were to look closely, he is essentially saying this: if you really are my disciples, if you really are true Christians, then you will do these things. And if you do these things, you will receive these blessings. I'll be with you. I'll manifest myself to you. And the whole message of his talk to them, his counsels to them, his words to them in the upper room is that these instructions are for his true followers. Now, Judas had already left. Judas Iscariot, his betrayer, had already left, which makes even the Lord's words even more powerful. And the Lord Jesus repeats his points in different ways, but it all comes down to this, as you read in verse 15. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And this shows that obeying his words is a sign of true discipleship. Now, what are the words of Jesus Christ? The words of Jesus Christ are the words of God. And you have both the Old Testament and the New Testament. Both are the two lips of God that God is speaking. So you read the Bible in the Old Testament, that's Jesus Christ speaking. You read the Old and New Testament, that's Jesus Christ speaking. Yes, there are prophets, Isaiah, Ezekiel, and so on. You have the Apostle Paul, and you have Peter and John and others who have written, but they were simply penmen. But the Spirit of Christ was moving them. These holy men of old were moved by the Holy Ghost, the Scripture says. The words of Jesus. Now the question comes up that, well, what's the true sign of a disciple? You want to know what discipleship is about? Is obeying God's word. We need to study it. We need to dig into it. We need to prayerfully have the word of God before us each day. But the question is, why does the Lord Jesus Christ reveal himself to his followers and not to the world? Why does it say this, that he's showing himself to his disciples and not to everybody else out there? The answer is that true followers are marked by their love and obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. True followers of the Lord are marked, they're shown, they're seen by their love and obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm encouraging you, dear friends, I'm encouraging you as this church, you who are true Christians, to remember that love for Jesus Christ is the defining trait of a Christian. That's what it is. You might have all the various points of practical theology and all sorts of things, getting it all right. And you might spend all afternoon, Sunday afternoons, talking about this and that and this difference and that difference and should I be doing that and should I not be doing that and putting the whole world to rights and the church to rights. My friends, what is the trait? What should you be concerned about? Your love for Jesus Christ. And that love for Jesus Christ, yes, it leads to obedience. You want to follow him as close as you can. But is that the thing that is seen in your life? Love Jesus Christ. So I want to encourage you. May this be your trait. May this be your prayer. Keep this principle. Keep these thoughts close as you continue to walk in faith. That what people see, they say, this man, this woman, this boy, this girl, I don't understand what they're talking about. They do things that is strange, extreme. They're so strict. But one thing is clear. With all of their silliness, that they don't fit into the rest of the world, yet I know this. They love Jesus Christ. I don't know why they love Jesus Christ, but I see it clearly. They love him. They would lay down their lives for him. That's the trick. This idea of love for Christ as a defining trait is not something new, dear friends. It's exactly what we see in the account of Adam in the Garden of Eden. God himself walked in the garden. You read the book of Genesis, the first two or three chapters, you'll find that for yourself. God is having close fellowship with Adam. There was this deep connection between them. They could talk to each other. They could walk with each other. And this was because Adam's heart was filled with love for the Lord. Sin had not entered in. Sin had not tainted that world at that time. Who was there walking? It was Jesus, the pre-incarnate Jesus in the Garden of Eden, who was walking with Adam. And Adam loved the Lord. The amazing thing happened, the awful thing happened, that something happened. He became selfish. He loved himself. He loved his own thoughts. And he at that point, he said, I'll do this thing for me, not for the Lord. I will take up this fruit. I will begin to do my own thing. And you can't do the two things together. You can't love this world and love also the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't love yourself and love the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, my friends, love him only. Love him only, whatever the cost. In the New Testament, Christians are often described as a new creation. New creation. Not the old Christian creation. A new race, as it were. A new race of mankind formed because of Jesus Christ, the last Adam. So it's natural that one of the distinguishing marks of a Christian is a love for Jesus Christ. We're also told that when we become believers, when we become God's people, God's law, God's commands, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, God's laws, they're written in our hearts. And we begin to delight in them. We begin to love them. The Apostle Paul says, I delight to do thy will, O my God. The greatest commandment in the Old Testament is what? Is to love God with all our heart, mind, soul, strength, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. And as the Apostle said, I've already quoted it from Romans 7 and verse 22, I delight in the law of God. Some Christians who say, well, I don't need to do that. That's the Old Testament thing. No, the Apostle Paul says, I delight in it. I delight in the law of God after the inward man. That's the character of a Christian. I am so rejoicing. I'm not miserable. It's not a chore to me. It used to be a chore to me. But now I delight in it. I love it. That's what the apostles, that's the Christian attitude, dear friends. Do you love the law of God? And you say, my heart, I love to obey the Lord. I love to follow the Lord. I love Jesus Christ so much. I want to be as close to what he has said to me in all of the Bible. I'm not going to chop and change the Bible to fit my needs. No, because he has loved me. So since loving God is the most important command, it makes perfect sense that one of the key signs of a true Christian is love for Jesus Christ. When a Christian delights in God's law, they naturally obey it, filled with love for their Creator and Savior. So this teaching of the Bible, this teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ about love, as I said, it runs through the Old Testament and also it runs through the New Testament. The Apostle John says that one of the key marks of Christians is that we love. But why do we love? John answers it very clearly in his first epistle, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 19. You know it very well. We love him. Now, why do we love him? He adds this, because he makes me happy. It doesn't say that. Because he's made my life very easy. Because I'm prospering. That's not what it says. I'm adding all of these words to it. Because that's what people think today. I love him because he has made everything so wonderful. I am so happy. Everything is working out in my life. My family loves me. My work is going well. My health is going well. That's not what Paul says. I hope you understand that. I'm making all of these things up. He says, we love him because he first loved us, it says. B- because he first loved us. That's crucial to understand. That's what makes the cross of Jesus Christ and the work of Jesus Christ so essential, dear friends, because he died for me. He loved me and gave himself for me. That's how I know. I don't love him because my life is going well. No, oftentimes, as a Christian, your life gets worse. Things will not turn out well for you. Your faith is tested. You pray for patience. And then you're tested even more to teach you patience. We love him because God, through his Son, first loved us. And as Christians, we are people who constantly remember that cross. We can't forget that God loved us even before we loved him. That he sought us out. He saved us. He sent his Son as the sacrifice for our sins. That actually this love of God cost him greatly. It cost him the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ. That's an amazing thing, dear friends, when you think about it. And this isn't meant to turn us into people who only know theology, that we have got big heads and lots of books in our libraries. No, no. Rather, it should transform us into loving people who respond to God's love by loving him back. That's it. The youngest child who has just the simple truths of the gospel penetrating his heart can love the Lord Jesus Christ back. It's simple. You don't have to be a genius. You don't have to be highly educated and have read all of these different books about these things. No, no. So this theme of love continues throughout the New Testament. As when we think about justification, these big words, justification, that God removes our sins and declares us righteous in the sight of God and says their sins are canceled. When we think about sanctification, that God is cleaning us, cleansing us. When we think about adoption, that God has brought us from a kingdom which wasn't part of his, from a family that was not his family, but he's brought us into his family. That's what he's done with Christians. Now we are part of the family of God. That amazes us. And when you think about glorification, that a true child of God is going to heaven, will be glorified one day, dear friends. Time and time again, the love of God is highlighted. The love of God is shed abroad, the Apostle Paul says in Romans 5 and verse 5. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts, he says. And the fruit of the Spirit, what is that? The Spirit of God working in you. What's the fruit of the Spirit? The first is love. Love is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So you see a Christian, his trait, the greatest thing in his life that you begin to see, he's loving God. Not perfectly, but he's growing in these things. He stumbles, he falls. You see selfishness in him, but then you see repentance. You see, he's feeling awful about loving himself. I don't want to love myself. I want to love God. Look at what Jesus Christ has done for me. I want to love him. And then there's joy, peace, and long-suffering. That's patience and kindness and all sorts of other things that's mentioned. These are all emphasized. But love is the first one. That's the fruit. Do you have that fruit? Do I have that fruit? Loving Jesus Christ above all. So it's a true mark of a Christian is love, especially love for the Son of God. So, and this is completely opposite to the world. The world ignores these things, often ignores these things, rejects these things. The world mocks Jesus Christ. Loving Jesus? What's the point of loving Jesus? I don't even believe that he existed ever before. What has he got to do with me? He lived so many years ago. The world doesn't see these things. And even when it doesn't do these things, it distorts who Christ is. They make a false version of the Lord Jesus Christ that suits their own desire. People end up loving the image that they have made rather than loving the true Creator, as it says in the Bible. They make an image of Jesus Christ. They make a Christianity that fits their view and thoughts rather than going to the Bible. But for a Christian, true child of God, the defining mark isn't just loving God's laws, Christ's work, his day, and even his people. Though all these things are important, the true mark of a Christian is loving Jesus Christ for himself. That's what it is. And everything else follows. You see, the problem is when you see some fault in a Christian, you see, and you begin to point them out and say, well, you should be doing that. You should be doing this. The greatest thing that we ought to be concerned about, the greatest thing that I am concerned for you and for myself, do you love Jesus Christ in sincerity and in truth? And is that love growing? Because if it is growing, then other things also will follow suit. Just think about it this way. When you're in love, when you actually love, you would keep a picture of your loved one close and constantly looking at it. You think about them. Well, I ask you today, are you looking at, if I could put, picture of Christ, which is found in the Holy Scriptures? Are you looking to Jesus Christ and you love the Jesus of the Bible? You say, I don't know much. I have very little understanding of many, many things. But one thing I know, I love Jesus Christ. I love him. I want to follow him. Wherever he leads me, I will go, you sing to yourself. And as you read the Bible, do you find yourself drawn to the Lord Jesus Christ, filled with admiration, and there is a longing to be with him? Are you the kind of a person who delights in his company? You want to spend time with the Lord Jesus. You talk about him often, and you feel joy when you hear his name, and when you hear his word preached, you love it. You're not finding excuses not to be with him. If so, this is a strong sign that you're a true Christian. But if you're finding excuses for following him, loving him, then there's something's wrong at best. A real Christian doesn't just love the things associated with Christ, like his power and his glory or the symbols of his majesty. He loves Jesus Christ himself. And this is the core of what it means to be a believer, a lover of Jesus Christ. Then the second thing is this, obedience. Obedience. So the second principle, the first was love, the second principle is obedience in this passage that is captured here. Love, obedience. And also then manifestation go hand in hand. Obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ is the natural outcome of love, or if you prefer, the true test of love. You want to test that someone loves the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, they want to follow him. They are actually following him. It's not just a word. They're not just saying it. Words are cheap, dear friends. People say many things. But what do they do? It's by their fruit. The Lord Jesus Christ said that, you know that. So the distinguishing mark of a Christian is love for Jesus Christ, but true love for Jesus Christ always leads to obedience. Look at it again, verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments, it says. Verse 21, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, it says. That's the test of whether that love is genuine. But why the Lord Jesus Christ emphasize this so strongly? Why is he making it so clear about this in John 14 and verse 15? Why is he saying it in this way? Because he knows that there are many, many people who like the idea, they love the idea of the Lord Jesus Christ, they love the idea of heaven, they love the idea of being forgiven. These ideas they love, but they don't love the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't want to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. They are there for the benefits rather than actually wanting to be with him and going wherever he goes. It says in verse 23, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him, it says. The opposite is true also. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings, it says in verse 24. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. Somebody who doesn't keep God's word, Christ's words, and they don't care about it. They don't really think much about it. The Lord Jesus Christ says, it is true. They don't love me. So obedience is a true test of love. So why isn't it enough to say, well, I love Jesus Christ, or I'm devoted to the Lord Jesus Christ? Why isn't it enough just to say, I adore him? Why isn't it enough to simply feel captivated by the Lord Jesus? Because of the deceitfulness of the human heart. Because I can fool myself. The Bible warns us about how easily we can fool ourselves. It's possible for someone to say that they love Jesus Christ and they feel deeply moved by what we read in the Bible and what is preached, or maybe a hymn or a psalm that we sing, yet still genuinely not love him. It is true. It happens thousands, millions of times over the years. This is why obedience matters so much. It's the proof that our love is real and not just an illusion. Jesus' emphasis on obedience here in this passage then is essential. He says it has to be genuine. So if you say you love Jesus Christ, let's put that love to test by examining your obedience. For example, consider some of the Lord Jesus' commandments. You think about what he says. It's recorded in Matthew 5 and verse 48. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. True love for Christ is shown through obeying his words. He's saying striving for holiness, for godliness. That's what he's saying. I want to be like my God. I like to be more godly in my life. The Lord Jesus Christ gives us a clear command to make disciplined effort to be more holy. If someone truly loves the Lord Jesus Christ, they will keep his word and use every opportunity to grow spiritually. They are carrying their cross, and they will be fighting against their sin, and they will be gouging an eye and cutting off an arm and cutting off a leg. They'd rather go to heaven maimed, as it were, spiritually speaking, we are talking about, than having everything and go to hell. If there is no desire, if there is no intention, if there are excuses after excuses or no effort to become holy, then according to the New Testament, according to the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, that person is deceived about their love for Jesus Christ. If a man love me, he will keep my words, the Lord Jesus said in John 14, verse 23. Obedience to the Lord Jesus is the true test of whether that love is real. Think about another commandment of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Matthew 6 and verse 33, we read, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What are all these things? What are they? The Lord Jesus Christ is referring to necessities like food and clothing and money and even things like the position that we are and the kind of work that we are doing. Here, the Lord Jesus Christ is telling his disciples that God's interests must come first in their lives. And so if there are things that are happening and you think, well, this is going to be the case, it's not a matter of necessity, but it's something that the world is demanding of me, then, and it is going against the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, then I would have to say, well, I must give that up. I need to sacrifice that. I mean, I must sense the pain of these worldly things, but I don't want to sense the pain of missing out with God and my love for the Lord Jesus Christ. So loving Jesus Christ, it means prioritizing his commands above everything else. Obedience shows whether our love for him is genuine. And the Lord Jesus tells his followers then to prioritize seeking God's kingdom first, promising that when they do, all these needs, like food, clothes, all of these things will be provided for them by God. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, he says. If someone isn't trying to put God's interest first and instead lets things like money and status or personal gain control their life, then according to Scripture, and saying that they're too busy for this and too busy for that, when they could do those things, they are deceived about their love for the Lord Jesus Christ. And these are quite blunt things that our Lord Jesus Christ is saying to us. My friends, I say these things, but I fear sometimes, because of the repetition, that we become lulled to it. We become used to it. We don't think seriously about it ourselves. So genuinely pray to God that if there are things that God has to show it to you, that he would reveal it to you this evening, that we would be different people. I prayed about this for myself, that God would change me and show me what are the things that are affecting me. Well, friends, there are people who may truly believe they love him, but if they are not obeying his commands or making an effort to follow his teachings by his grace, the love is not genuine. Obedience is true test of love. Another command that the Lord Jesus Christ says, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh. That's in Matthew 24, verse 44. And this is clear instruction from the Lord Jesus that we should live our lives in constant readiness for his return. Living in this state of preparedness reflects our obedience and true love for him. The Lord Jesus commands us to live with a sense of urgency, anticipating his return. So if someone claims to love the Lord Jesus, but lives as if his return is far, far away, far off, won't happen soon, their actions reveal where their heart truly lies. Such a person, then you find them, they're focusing more on the earthly things than on eternal ones. Their eyes are fixed on this life rather than on the heavenly future that they are promised. If someone makes no effort to live in the light of Christ's coming, it's a sign that they need to seriously question whether the love for Jesus Christ is genuine or if they are being deceived by their own heart. For the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not, we read in Luke 12 and verse 40. Another commandment is this from the Lord Jesus is found at the end of Matthew's Gospel, which tests a Christian's love. It says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. This is a call to spread the gospel. This is a command to all of his disciples to go and tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. Tell others about their need of salvation. And that is a measure of our love for Jesus Christ, dear friends. So he's making these instructions clear. They are to share the gospel with the world. The Church of Jesus Christ is to baptize new believers. They ought to be discipling them, teaching them to obey all of his commands. So that is the command of our Lord Jesus Christ. Is that something that you're engaged in? Telling others about the Lord Jesus Christ? We are not talking about just merely an official thing. Here is, you know, on Thursday morning, we go out in the open air and so on. But in your day-to-day life, you see opportunities. You see people. You're praying for things. You are seeking to give towards those causes where they seek to distribute the word of God and so on. This is the church's great mission, dear friends, to spread the saving message of Jesus Christ to everyone, everywhere. So if someone claims to love Jesus Christ, but never makes an effort to talk about him, to share the gospel, if we are ashamed of Jesus, if we do not help bringing new believers into a church where they can grow, then they need to question whether their love for Jesus Christ is genuine. I'm simply saying that Jesus Christ says, if you love me, you obey my commandments. And I'm just quoting you the commandments of the Lord Jesus Christ. True believers' love is marked by obedience. And that obedience is seen in how seriously we take Christ's command. So love is the mark of a Christian, but obedience is the test of whether that love is real. The level of our obedience, that it reflects the strength of our love. Great obedience shows great love, while small obedience shows small love. So reflect on this command and ask yourself, does your love for Christ drive you to obey him fully? So these are some of the things to think about, and something else as well. We've talked about love, we've talked about obedience. Now, thirdly, very quickly, we want to talk about manifestation. Manifestation. That's our third point. The manifestation of Christ is the reward of obedience. There are some people who say, well, I just don't sense the Lord. Is he with me? Is he not with me? I don't know. The Lord Jesus Christ is very clear. I will manifest myself to them. Those who are loving me, those who are following me, those who are obeying me. I will manifest myself, and my Father will manifest himself to you. Love for Christ is what defines a Christian, and our obedience reveals the depth of our love, of that love. But the manifestation of the Lord Jesus, the experience of his presence, is the reward that we receive for our obedience. In our daily lives, a conscious awareness of Christ's presence would change everything. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ is with me, it would change everything. Imagine how different our home would be if we were always aware that the Lord Jesus Christ was present and he was active in our lives. Our friendships, our work environments, our church experience would all transform if we truly recognize his presence and allow him to manifest himself in every area. When we think about our dear friends of our congregation here, the life here, the evangelism of the church, it's crucial to remember that our worship, our outreach should be driven by a real sense of Christ's presence among us. If we are just doing things in our own strength, if just running, doing this and that and a thousand other things, we are no better than a factory. Factories create lifeless objects. They create things, but not living things. But Jesus Christ is the only one who does give life. And we need him, dear friends, his presence with us and among us. So if we truly recognize the risen Son of God in our midst, it would profoundly impact how we live and serve. How often do we speak about God? Whether in public, personal conversations, you know, friendships. But if you feel like you're talking about an absent deity, absent God, imagine that. There's no real sense of Christ's presence in our lives. If we sense him that he's absent, and if we are honest, what we are truly longing for is a revival. What we are talking about when manifestation, if we are talking about the true revival of Christ's presence with his people, where we can truly feel the manifestation of Jesus Christ. Revival, according to Scripture, means having a conscious awareness of God's presence in every area of our lives, that Jesus Christ is increasing and we are decreasing in our work, in the gathered assembly, in our worship, in our community, in our home, in our personal lives. Some Christians say, well, they're waiting for revival to start. Obeying God's word and to follow Jesus Christ more closely. Well, they believe that once revival comes, they will naturally want to obey and live according to Scripture. But the truth is, the way to bring about the revival, at least in our own lives, our own experiences, is this: starting to love Jesus Christ and starting to obey him. As Isaiah says to us in Isaiah 64 and verse 5, thou meetest him that rejoiceth and worketh righteousness, those that remember thee in thy ways. So it's in the way that we go, the Lord meets with us. As Abraham's servant also, I was in the way, and the Lord met me. When we live in obedience, we are actually inviting God's presence into our lives. The absence of God in our services often reflects our own lack of obedience. It's not, don't blame the preacher, don't blame other people. Ask yourself, where am I with God? It's not about what we see. It's about our own spiritual state. The New Testament church was known for its obedience and as a result, experienced God's presence. It wasn't that they just gave the least that they could do. They met together on the Lord's Day, spent the day together worshiping. They witnessed throughout the week. They studied the scriptures. They loved the preaching of God's word. They met together to pray and seek God, and God was with them working. They sought to bring everything under the rule of Jesus Christ. They were a repenting church, and we see the Lord in their midst. Many people use the doctrine of God's sovereignty as an excuse for their own spiritual complacency or the lack of vitality in our congregations. But the key principles then remain, dear friends. Vitality is this: love, obedience, and Christ manifestation. The true mark of a Christian then is a deep love for Jesus Christ, who he is in his full glory, incarnate, crucified, resurrected, exalted, reigning and coming again. And this love should drive our obedience and lead to a clear manifestation of his presence in our lives. The true mark of a Christian is a heart overflowing with love for Jesus. If you don't have these deep affections, you're missing the essence of being a true Christian. Some people think that they love Jesus, but if their lives lack obedience, the love is questionable. You would do that in just normal life. If someone keeps saying to you, I love you, but you don't see anything, it's just words, cheap words, empty words. If you love me, then the Lord Jesus said, keep my commandments. Obedience is the test of true love. If there is no obedience, there is no spiritual life. Little obedience indicates little love, while great obedience shows great love. So how is it then with each one of us, dear friends? How does it fare with you and with me? How does it fare with this congregation? Are you known for the love of Jesus, that you love him? And how is that? How is it manifested in your life? Is the Lord Jesus Christ manifesting himself to you? If he does, if you're experiencing daily his mercy and grace, dear friends, then it's wonderful. Praise God and keep close to him. But maybe there are people here this evening and you think to yourself, well, I actually don't know him. By all of these statements that the pastor is making, I don't really know him. I don't know what this is all about. Well, my friends, begin to seek the Lord while he may be found. Begin to seek Jesus Christ. Say, Lord Jesus Christ, reveal thyself to me. Show yourself, Lord, to me. Show me who I am. Show me my needs, oh God. And be serious about it. And don't give up. Don't give up until he finds you, until you find him. May God then bless these thoughts to us. Amen. Let us pray. Oh Lord our God, we thank thee for the love of Jesus Christ to us that is so clearly seen. He was not merely words, but he did demonstrate his love toward us through his sacrifice, through his death. And oh God, we pray that we would also demonstrate day by day the love of Jesus Christ in our hearts. So Lord, bless us and help us now as we continue in thy presence for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.